I'm Fathery.
This is Dave.
And this is Text Trek.
Engage.
Welcome back aboard the Starship Texas for a special supplemental installment of the Text Trek podcast, the home of Star Trek fandom from deep in the heart of Texas, where we take a deep look at Star Trek, old and new. And tonight, we are having our Text Trek Trekmas holiday special. So, Dave, this is going to be a lot of fun.
Star Trek and Christmas have not typically gone together. You noted when we were talking this up that Gene Roddenberry had a pretty secular vision, and so Christmas, although also has a huge secular component, but has also has a very huge religious component, didn't make its way in, but we found where it had intersected,
and
we made a thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of been a frequently asked question of the fandom has kind of been like, why isn't, or, you know, it's even like a debate, like, well, can Star Trek Generation please be like, can Generations be our Christmas movie? It's like, no, like, there's not really like a real canonical, obvious Christmas story in Star Trek.
Until tonight.
But, well, that's still not canonical, but yeah, like, there is an appetite for a Star Trek Christmas episode, so damn it, that's our gift to the world. Mine and Dave and all the wonderful people who collaborated with us on this project. But yeah, we did an audio drama adaptation of a 1987 Next Generation comic book. But it's a Christmas story!
Yeah, so this is a pre-existing thing, that came from the weirdest days of Next Generation comics. Literally the first ones they ever produced, it was just a miniseries before they did it as an ongoing series. And young Dave, around 14, was there buying it off the newsstands.
You're the same age as Wesley Crusher when season one of TNG came out.
Wow, why didn't I really fiercely identify with him? Why did I hate him at the time?
it was all projection.
It could have been. Yes, this is, you know, so these guys were making comics under kind of a weird and unique circumstance. They wanted, DC Comics had gotten the license. Mm-hmm. They had done some TNG comics and TNG movie comics and stuff.
Or TOS. They'd done TOS stuff. Now the new show coming out.
Thank you. Yes, TOS. And now here was TNG. They wanted to have comics right as it was the thing was hitting. Only they had fairly limited access to it, you know. Maybe some scripts, some photos, maybe some scenes, or they might have seen an episode or two. But, you know, even the first season of Star Trek Next Generation is kind of unformed. So even if they had,
right.
It's kind of no wonder they didn't quite know what it was yet.
Yeah, we think this came out, the cover date is March of 88. So we think it was actually like in stores December of 87, which makes sense for a Christmas story. So it would have been hitting the racks like just 3 months after TNG first came on TV. So yeah, most of the people who saw this comic on store shelves probably hadn't even seen TNG yet.
That makes sense. Yeah. They were probably like me, voracious for any, any bit of this new Star Trek. And is it a great comic? I don't know. Maybe not. But it's fun. It's interesting. It's weird. I think it's going to deliver a fun experience as we provide an audio play of sorts.
Yes.
For
yes.
It.
So we actually made sure that the story is adaptable to an audio audience. We have a narrator. We have several people coming to do voices. So keep your ears peeled. We have Jesse Gender, Larry Nemechek, the Trek Geeks. So there's going to be some guest stars showing up. But yeah, we have someone doing
a
narration.
We're in it too, Fathery.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Dave and I both appear. And we have, like, narration. And if you're watching on YouTube, we actually have some of the comic book art. So you'll see it and see how bizarre some of this is. And, you know, the comic books tend to cater more to the superhero genre. So a lot of those artists, you know, they're trained to draw the, you know, muscular buff dudes, the sexy ladies, the, a lot of, like, the you know, Enterprise set locations might be a little off model. Some characters might say some dialogue that's slightly out of character. But, you know, it was so early. They were just figuring it out. So that makes it kind of fun to look at now is this odd artifact.
Yeah. If you look at one of the modern, say, IDW Trek comics, you're going to see characters that are pretty on model that really have the voices very often that we associate with them. This was part of the fun of this one was that it is not that. It is its own thing.
Well, Dave, I think if you're ready, we can get this.
Yes, I'm excited. This is actually, out. I will be seeing it for the first time myself.
The first
I've
time
seen clips.
Anyone out there has seen or heard this other than me. So I just like have just edited all this together just within the last few days. So I'm excited to share it. And then after it's over, come back and have a little chat with Dave and I. We'll have some more things to say at the end. But yeah, I hope everyone enjoys. This was Star Trek, I guess, Star Trek The Next Generation issue number 2. We'll talk about the credits, the comics creators later at the end of the show. But here we go. Y'all enjoy.
Once upon a time, on a Christmas Eve in the 24th century, a burning red fireball streaks through space as an alien ship pursues.
Faster! We're gaining on it!
We cannot let it escape!
But meanwhile, nearby in the same sector, Captain Jean-Luc Picard commands the Federation flagship, USS Enterprise NCC-1701-D.
Captain's log, stardate 42120.3. The Enterprise and my crew are en route from Syntagaselev to Federation Starbase 33 for standard debriefing and maintenance. We had hoped to be there before the holidays were upon us, but you might say that fate's lights have been against us most of the way.
On the bridge of the Enterprise, the senior officers clock out for the day and turn over command of the ship to Riker, Worf, and the night shift. Also, this is a season 1 story, so Tasha and Geordi are on the bridge. Ho 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 ho.
Good night, Trent.
And there is a dude named Trent on the ship. He only has one line. Don't worry, I'll point it out when we get to it so you don't miss it.
Sorry to stick you here tonight of all nights, Vasquez.
Also, a Lieutenant Vasquez sitting down at the helm, and the beloved alien character solely invented for the comic this story came from, Scooch, takes over on the op station. The pair are relieving Lieutenant Geordi LaForge and Lieutenant Commander Data.
Ditto from me too, Scooch. Did I use that slang phrase correctly?
Yes, Data. You're doing very well.
As you can probably tell, this story is going to be a little, let's say, off. It was written before TNG had aired. Let's just roll with it and have some holly jolly fun. Plus, we get to enjoy some original characters, like Vasquez taking over from Geordi here.
Have fun, Geordi. Data, we'll try not to fall asleep at the wheel here.
Commander Riker, you have the bridge.
Thank you, Captain. I do not anticipate any problems tonight. It's traditionally a quiet evening, galaxy-wide. Enjoy the party, sir.
Frankly, Riker, I have little tolerance for holidays and festivities. But the crew likes it, and I should make my appearance.
Aren't you coming, Worf?
Sorry, Counselor Troy, but I can use the extra time in my station. Even though my Klingon people celebrate the coming of our gods this season as well.
Oh, well. Happy holidays to you in any event. Hold the turbo lift, sir. We're coming.
Good night, all. Have fun without us.
Aye, aye, sir. You too.
Humor?
Commander Riker, I picked up an alien reading on my panel.
Really? Worf?
Looks interesting, sir. Uncategorized alien vessel entering at the equivalent of our warp factor 2.
Hmm. routine diplomatic overtures are in order, I'd say. No problem, Captain Picard. Enjoy yourselves.
As I've told you, Commander, that is highly unlikely.
Trent, Scooch, optimum magnification of ship on the viewscreen. Worf, make initial contact.
Aye, sir. Opening all hailing frequencies for communication.
And there it is! Trent's one line! And I'm pretty sure it was supposed to go to Worf, but they drew the comic book dialogue balloon looking like it came from this guy, so we used it as an excuse to sneak another voice actor in here. Have fun guessing who it is. Have fun guessing who any of us are.
The spirit of the season ought to keep this meeting on the congenial side. Amen?
What if this isn't Christmas time for those guys, sir?
Commander, something weird just happened to my instruments.
Doesn't appear to be the alien ship, sir.
The burning red-hot streak, racing through the cosmos, swerves away from the pursuing alien ship, and without warning collides with the hull of the Enterprise. The bridge goes completely dark.
Never seen anything like this.
Wait. Trent, switch to auxiliary power. Damn, we shut down again. What? That chill.
I don't know about you, sir, but whatever that was, it felt like it went through my entire body.
Captain Picard and the Turbo Lift, with Data, Tasha, Geordi, and Counselor Troy, calls Commander Riker on the bridge to see why his ship is experiencing power blackouts.
Commander Riker, this is Picard. Status report. What's happening with the power up there?
Deanna, are you?
I'm fine, Geordi, I think.
On the bridge?
I just can't figure it. Everything's returned to normal on my boards.
Strange. Could it have been some odd sort of feedback caused by the alien ship's power source?
I've established contact with the alien ship, sir. I've asked them to maintain their present distance in case your theory is correct.
Riker to Captain Picard. Everything is under control. No need for concern. I'll call if something more dangerous than a power surge rears its ugly head.
I don't like this.
Sir, there's absolutely no cause to alarm anyone yet, and your absence from tonight's functions might cause just that.
Deanna's right, sir. Besides, interruptions in power like that, while rare, are not unheard of.
I would like to speak with the alien, Commander Worf. Bring him on. Have the computer translate his language for me.
Aye, sir. Here is a Captain Bronder.
Greetings. I am Commander Riker of the USS Enterprise. Captain Bronder?
The bridge's view screen switches from a display of the stars to the image of a tall, dark humanoid figure. He is covered in tightly wrapped black garb. The only visible part of the alien are two intense eyes staring through a slit in the wrappings, and perhaps a hint of green around them.
The apologies of my people, Commander of the Enterprise. We will hold our position to avoid any further disturbances like those your fellow Worf described to us.
Scan them, sir. They seem pretty harmless.
Allow me to extend the Federation's invitation, Bronder, to you and several of your people's representatives to join us in our season of celebration, all in an effort to share the ways of our people with each other. Of course, you must board our vessel unarmed.
That would be without need of speaking it, Riker. We accept your generous invitation, Riker, and we look forward to absorbing all we can from your kind.
Very well. Prepare to be teleported in the next 30 standard minutes. Enterprise out. Give him a few minutes, Worf, and then contact Captain Picard.
Aye, sir.
While Commander Riker makes the official first contact arrangements, Counselor Troy gets dolled up in her quarters in preparation for the ship's big holiday parties.
I did sense something unusual back in the turbo lift, but was it necessarily something to be worried about? If only the Betazoid part of my heritage would allow me more certainty.
Get used to it, Deanna. I know this is season one, but that's going to be the case with you for too much of the show, sadly. Picard has to get dressed up, too. In the captain's quarters, he slips on a very formal-looking green party jacket, that he apparently wears to holiday parties.
Bridge to Captain Picard, requesting your presence in Transporter Room 6 to welcome diplomatic entourage from alien vessel. They've expressed an interest in joining our celebrations.
Acknowledged, Mr. Worf. It will be good to stall those parties a moment, though I feel now I should have stayed on the bridge.
Tasha, too, is dressing up for the Yuletide fun and games.
I've always longed to have the holidays back in my life. I didn't get to do much celebrating when I was a child on the colony, and my duties with the Federation since have kept me from keeping my faith. I'm really looking forward to loosening up tonight.
Okay, that line is really awkward given what we know about the character's background and why she wouldn't be able to celebrate the holidays as a child. We're just going to move on right past that. Oh, here is a nice distraction. If you ever read any of these Season 1 TNG comic books, you surely remember these next two Enterprise D residents, the unforgettable and unforgivable, the infamous Bickering Bickleys.
Oh, Mrs. Bickley, is the tantrum of the hour over for now? Think maybe we could celebrate one Christmas on time for a change?
Mr. Bickley yells like a jackass while his wife stands in their quarters half naked and unable to decide which outfit to wear to the party. Women, am I right, fellas?
Go on ahead, Michael J. Bickley. Go ahead, since it's quite obvious that you can't wait to hit that Christmas cheer for another 5 minutes.
Hey, we never said this 1987 dialogue was going to hold up. At least the comics were trying to embrace Gene's vision of family life on the Enterprise. Speaking of which, while the Bickleys argue, Dr. Beverly Crusher and her son Wesley also experience some pre-party tension.
But Ma, do I have to go to this dull old party? It's not like I believe in any one of these ancient rituals. Christmas, Hanukkah, Rethloom, or anything.
Wesley Crusher, you are accompanying me to the party. Now move it.
As evening becomes night, personnel begin to make their way to the holodeck, or hollow chamber, as we are sometimes calling it in the story. Don't ask me why! Ho 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 ho!
You look fine, Data. Now just relax.
But I'm always nervous at human gatherings, Geordi. As an android, I'm still having trouble understanding accepted behavior during these observations of archaic customs.
Nonsense, buddy. Just follow my lead when we get into the holochamber.
Oh my. It would seem our timing was impeccable.
Geordi and Data arrive outside at the same time as the Crushers and Counselor Troy. Troy speaks to the holochamber door.
Open. Merry Christmas to you, Data.
I am most excited about this evening. Thank you all for including me in on the festivities.
It wouldn't be a party without you, Data.
Geordi greets young Wes with a pat on the head as the Bickering Bickleys approach, arguing louder and louder with each step closer.
Come on, Geordi, cut it out. Geordi, I'm not crazy about the fact that my mom forced me to come to this hollow chamber in the first place.
Wesley, just turn around and enjoy the view.
And I can't believe you said that.
Oh yeah? Well, listen to this.
The group enter the hollow chamber and step into a massive room the size of an arena. The room is packed with Enterprise partygoers enjoying holographic snow. Children build snowmen while others race down short slopes of snow lined with Christmas trees.
Cool.
Inquiry. Cool.
Swell, Boss, Keen, Neato, Stoop, Fragged. Got it?
No.
They continue forward into the party, and Troy notices something hanging overhead.
Mistletoe, Geordi.
Calm down, Trekkies and Trekkers. I know this fan base can't resist a new ship, but Troy only kisses Geordi on the cheek. And watch out, Mistletoe, here come the Bickleys.
Don't think I didn't notice how you hung that towel, either.
How I hang my towel is my problem.
Mwah. And another thing. I'm fed up with your constant...
Tell it to the counselor.
In the transporter room, Tasha joins the captain, who is waiting on the incoming guests.
Thank you for postponing your recreation time, Tasha.
When I heard your page, I thought I could be of service.
Very ready to beam aboard, Captain.
Bronder arrives along with four other Krieg. They are each dressed in identical black garb from head to toe.
Welcome aboard the USS Enterprise. I am Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
And I am Bronder of the Krieg. May we see more of your magnificent ship?
It is our custom to shake hands when...
Captain, if I may, it must not be their way.
One would assume.
But it is Christmas, after all. Gentlemen, if you'll walk this way. Your men seemed very impressed with the Enterprise, Bronder.
They certainly are taking in every inch of the corridor.
As Picard and Tasha escort the Krieg visitors, young Mr. Crusher schemes an escape from the party while his mother socializes.
Mom's busy, now's my chance. They'll be shorthanded on the bridge, what with all of these parties tonight. Maybe I can get Commander Riker to let me sit at the ops post again.
The young lad makes his way down the corridor, but hears Picard and Tasha approaching from around the corner, continuing the ship tour for the Krieg.
Well, if you Krieg like our hallway, you really ought to enjoy our first stop.
Someone's coming. Better pour it on.
Many who visit my ship ask to see our famous holodecks, Bronda. So won't you and your people join us in our holiday celebrating?
Captain Picard may be one of the fleet's most seasoned diplomats, but he and Tasha are so busy with the Krieg that they do not notice one of them slip away. The burning ball of energy the Krieg were chasing, that struck the hull of the Enterprise earlier, is now zooming down the ship's corridors unseen. While the crew of the Enterprise might be oblivious, the sole Krieg is picking up the trail.
Yes, I felt it. It is here, or it has been recently. I can sense its energy trail. It's come down this corridor. Yes, it's just around that bend, huh?
Hey, who are you? Did my mother send you to...
Bah! You're not the one I'm after. I must have misread your force aura.
What was that all about? More importantly, what was that? He's heading back towards the holodeck. I better follow.
Wesley returns to the holochamber and finds Picard introducing the Krieg to the crew.
Bronda, our ship's counselor Deanna Troi, and Lieutenant Geordi LaForge.
Welcome aboard, sir.
More aliens like the one I followed. But why was that one walking around the Enterprise unescorted? I've got to talk to Captain Picard. Captain Picard, I must speak with you.
Wesley, please, not now.
But sir, one of those aliens was wandering around the halls, alone, and regulations TX-99.43 clearly states...
Wesley, a little respect for visitors might be in order.
But sir, this one here was following me in the hall, and he seemed pretty upset when I caught him. And he said I wasn't the one he was looking for.
Looking for? Is that true, Bronda? Are you Krieg here looking for someone?
Well... Captain, not exactly someone. Aren't we all searching for the entity? The one we try to model our actions after? Our inspiration?
What are you on about, Bronder?
Wait a moment, Captain. Bronder, do you believe the being or force you're speaking of is here?
Yes. We were on the trail of something when our instruments led us to your ship.
Sir, if this being entered our ship, that might help explain the strange power surge earlier.
Very well, Data. You and LaForge scan this deck.
Aye, sir.
I'm afraid I detect nothing out of the ordinary, sir. Except for the Krieg, of course.
Same here, sir. No being, entity, or force.
Then perhaps we were mistaken as well.
Better luck next time, little troubleshooter.
No, there is something funny going on here. Why don't you believe me?
Wesley, come back here!
Wait, Beverly. You stay. Enjoy the party. I'll calm Wesley down.
Counselor Troi runs down the corridor behind Wesley.
Wesley, wait.
Counselor?
I'd like to talk to you about what you think these visitors are up to, because I felt it in there. It was one of the strongest forces I've ever touched.
But even if you believe me, what can we do? We have no proof that they're up to any... Counselor, did you just hear something?
Quiet, Wesley. I think it's...
It's too late for silence. You, woman, you have sensed the power as we did. And now you will find it for us. Because we are here to take the spirit from you.
Back on the bridge.
Commander Riker, we've got some trouble.
What is it, Scooch?
I'm registering some slight energy drains on my console, sir. It looks like it may have something to do with the alien ship.
Just in case it's a Krieg, Scooch. Throw up the shields to prevent...
Too late, sir.
The lights!
Come on, Deanna, now's our chance!
The lights across the Enterprise dome during the power drain, distracting the Krieg and allowing Wesley Crusher an opportunity to just push him over. Convenient.
Oof!
Hey, I did it!
Maybe now I can find out the Krieg's true motivation. Damn, I cannot read him through all of his covering.
Wait, Deanna, his eye openings.
Yes, I can feel his intentions very clearly now, and they are not good.
No!
Oh.
You cannot steal my force from me. I must reach Bronder.
Hurry, Wesley. We must stop him.
Back on his feet, the crazed Krieg storms back into the Hollow Chamber party.
Bronder, they tried to drain me. They are like us.
Huh?
What?
If our intent is known, then there is no need for false diplomacy any longer.
Weapons. Beam from their ship.
Take them, Geordi.
Way ahead of you, Tasha.
Hold yourselves, Krieg. Even without power, we outnumber you 100-1 in this room alone. My crew has already disarmed 3 of you. Besides, we do not have the entity you are looking for.
Sorry, sir, but it is here. I felt it.
Yeah, and she read one of those Krieg guys. They're bad news.
Wesley?
Very well. We were wrong to try to trick you. Our instruments detected the entity here in this sector. But while the Enterprise's instruments apparently missed it, your Troy seems to be able to home in on wherever it is.
My Betazoid gifts are not always 100% accurate, but the spirit I sensed was one of the most powerful I've ever encountered.
So, if this thing's so powerful, where is it in... Holy... Data?
Geordi sees the cosmic fireball emerge out of Data's body and begin zipping around the room.
Data!
Data lies unconscious on the floor.
It was inside Data. My visor is picking it up as it's leaving him. I must be the only one that can see it. It looks like a skinny old man.
It is here!
Unshield yourselves, Krieg!
Upon the command of their captain, the Krieg joined their leader in ripping off their tight black clothing from the waist up and revealing... Oh, all of you are going to love this. Revealing ripped, muscular bodies covered in green fur. That's right. Beneath all of that covering, the mysterious Krieg look like the Grinch on roids. Merry frickin' Christmas, y'all.
Ready for intake, Bronder.
Commence. Bring the spirit towards us.
This is all so strange. I cannot see anything.
I assure you, sir, seeing is believing.
While Picard might not be able to see, Geordi is watching the glowing entity streaking back and forth. It begins to glow and change shape.
I cannot see it, Geordi, but I believe it's there.
I believe too.
Well, then see if you all can believe this. The entity is... It's gaining mass. Somehow it's growing right before my visor.
For a moment, The glowing energy spirit appears to Geordi to be in the shape of a hefty old man with a long flowing beard and a pointy hat. I like that look. Ho, 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 ho.
Captain, the spirit is going to attack Bronder.
Ah!
Visible only to Geordi, the spirit merges into Bronder's chest, and the Grinchy alien falls down on his back.
Geordi, where is it? I can't see it.
It's inside Bronder. No, wait. It's leaving Bronder. And the room.
LaForge, lead Yaw and Troy after it.
Wait, please. Sir, please, let it go. It means no harm. I know, it was inside me. It's just spreading. Spreading, well, it felt wonderful.
Well, if they're not going after it, we are.
Halt. I'm captain of this vessel, and I'll decide...
Trollag, stop! Captain Picard's right. This is his ship. We are the guests. We'll do as he says.
Bronda, if you're trying to pull a fast...
Captain, it was wonderful.
The Krieg captain smiles, a creepy but sincere smile, letting Picard know there was no treachery in his heart. You might say it had grown in a size by a factor of 10 or so. Ho, 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 ho.
Well then, Krieg, if anyone is to find this thing, we'll need our power restored.
On the bridge of the Krieg ship, Bronder's crew react to his orders.
What?
You heard Captain Bronder's order. Chirp, restore power to the alien vessel.
It just doesn't sound like Bronder to relinquish stolen energies.
On the Enterprise, the lights return to their full brightness.
Power's on.
You okay too, buddy?
Yes.
Then let's find that spook.
Quickly, Geordi. You, Deanna, and the Krieg must pool your senses and try to...
Wait, sir. Let's try Holodeck 3. To the left.
Geordi leads the captain, the Krieg, and the rest of the Season 1 regular cast who were at the party next door to Holodeck 3, or Hollowed Chamber 3. I guess it's interchangeable now. Oh well, who cares?
Yes, I'm definitely scanning some form of energy trail. A quick peek into this deck's party oughta...
The group enter Holodeck 3 and see the Marciac Festival. They are tall, slender, pink-skinned people, and like actual pink... Not like Shran on Enterprise being racist to humans, but they're in colorful tights doing crazy alien acrobatic dance moves in front of a woman on a throne while smoke rises from burning cauldrons. Geordi stares in amazement at the Marciac.
Man, these Marciac crew members really know how to celebrate the...
Geordi, the spirit?
Sorry, sir. It has come by here, but it's not here now.
Onward, then.
The group leave Holodeck 3 and continue the search down the corridors to yet another holiday party.
I sense it strongly here. Geordi LaForge?
Yes, Bronder. It seems to dissipate energy as it travels.
They enter a familiar setting, another hollow chamber, but this one packed with the green-skinned Trempolian Triac. They are a scaly humanoid people with pointy ears and webbed toes, who look like they would be at home under the sea. A robed figure stands tall, as if preaching profound truths, as scantily clad green women, a Trek staple, lay adjacent to the wise man, basking in the glory of his preachings. Across the chamber, a crowd of fishy people cheer with their arms raised high. It's a pretty strange image. Go read the comic! Ho 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 ho!
No, it's not here at Trempolian Triac Party.
But it's left its essence. Bronder, the spirit entered you as well. Can you still feel a part of it within you?
Yes, Data, but...
Do you too have a feeling of where it might be now?
Ships north!
The bridge!
Hurry!
They make their way to the bridge, where Riker sits in command from the captain's chair.
Alien ship maintaining, Scooch?
Practically dead as a doornail, sir. I'm not even sure if it was them geezing our power before anymore.
Wonder if that blackout had any ill effects on the parties we weren't at.
Suppose we could call the captain.
Well, Geordi, is it here?
Is what here?
Geordi sees the spirit in the corner of the bridge to the left of the view screen. It has taken the ghostly form of a skinny old man, now in a red suit with black boots, white beard, and red hat.
Yes, sir. It's here, but it looks dissipated. Tired, almost.
Then I must have it!
No, Data, grab him!
A part of the spirit now appears to us as a purple ray being pulled into the Krieg Frolog's chest.
He's sucking in the entity's life force, Bronder.
Frolog, stop!
Frolog stops his attempt to absorb the entity.
It's dying. Needs our help.
Our love. Isn't that the least we can offer it?
After what it has done for us?
Geordi can see it in the blurry form of a really skinny Santa. It's sad to see, actually. Nothing makes me more unjolly than picturing a Saint Nick so malnourished-looking. Even though he looks like a ghost with no skin and bones, he looks like he is just skin and bones.
Hey, it's getting up. You guys are helping it.
Geordi sees the spirit become more of a solid, clear form. The skinny old man in a red suit grows larger and tubbier as well. And soon Geordi is staring at a massive glowing Santa Claus hovering on the bridge in front of the view screen.
Sir, if I may be so bold, what the hell's going on around here?
Well, I can't say I'm totally sure, but I'm tempted to say something spiritual.
Jean-Luc, are you saying...
Even the captain believes in it.
It's thriving, sir, on our feelings. And it looks like it wants to...
Pay us back!
The Santa spirit becomes a streaking ball of flame once more and dashes in circles overhead on the bridge, spreading holiday cheer!
Whoa!
Oh,
oh my.
Ah. This means it made them all high AF.
Oh my.
Wow.
Fuck.
It's gone, sir. I can feel it.
I think we all can now.
With its work done, the spirit departs the Enterprise and continues its voyage across the galaxy, streaking away, leaving a glowing red trail. But the Enterprise isn't the only ship getting Christmas lit. The Krieg back on Bronder's ship are tripping balls, too.
Draggle, what's the feel? Ugh.
I don't know. Oh. Just signal Bronder on that alien ship.
Worf, surprisingly chill and okay being this effed up with everyone else and not trying to hide it, passes on some good news to the captain.
Captain Picard, I have a signal on my communicator from the Krieg. They say they'd like to join our celebrations. They also mentioned something about gifts.
Well, then by all means, Lieutenant Worf, wave them on. Captain's log, stardate 42122.7. Whatever the galaxy-traveling entity we encountered was, it left both the Enterprise and Krieg crews with more, much more, than we could have ever given it. I only hope it lasts into the new year.
Well, I don't know if it's a Christmas story for the ages, but your jolly narrator appreciates all additions to his legend. Ho, 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 even this one. A thank you for joining us, Text Truckers. The festive spirit of the Spaceways wishes you all the most joyous of holiday seasons, along with all my friends, Jean-Luc, the Bickleys, Scooch, and even that scamp Wesley. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year!
Have a very, very happy holiday season, everybody. We love you.
Well, Dave.
That's amazing. I'm overwhelmed with the joy of the fireball creature.
I mean, that is, I guess, according to beta canon, if people who insist beta canon's, sure. I've kind of been like, like to me, like canon is kind of binary. It's either canon or it ain't. But I get it. But the idea of that being the Santa Claus of the Star Trek universe is I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that. But
you know, I'll say this. It took some strange turns, but Santa Claus being an energy being that brings joy and is pursued by Grinchy aliens and stuff like that, that seems Star Trek-y. It's certainly being an energy creature feels Star Trek.
It kind of has a bit of a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer element to it, with like a Geordi being like the blind dude. He's like you're not the outcast, you're the savior.
Yeah.
Perhaps handled a little better than the, like, Rudolph was kind of, treated as like a mutant in X-Men until he was like useful.
Yeah. No doubt. But you know, you could tell the writers wanted to like, Geordi's going to do something cool with his visor. Troy is going to track it with her empathic powers. Everybody kind of got to do a little bit of their thing. Wesley got to, you know, be like both, oh, he's annoying, but he's a little prodigy and he's got good instincts. And Picard was kind of just a big grump. He was a little bit of a...
He was season one Picard.
He was season one Picard,
this,
yeah.
This Geordi, he's like hitting on Troy and he's beating up aliens side by side with Tasha. And I don't know,
he's like already ahead of you, Tasha. Pa, 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 pa.
Yeah, this Geordi is kind of cool. But not, yeah. Not to say that the normal Geordi, like our Geordi at home, not to say that he's not, but...
He was, this one was action-adventure cool. He had a bit of a vibe to him.
Before we sign off, I do need to credit the comic book people that we did rip off their work and kind of made fun of it, but it was all in a... All in good fun and games, good spirits. But writer Michael Carlin, who is largely responsible for a huge part of my personality, probably because it was his idea to do like the whole like death of Superman, which got me into. And like I was already a fan of like DC characters, but that actually got me like reading DC comics, which has become a big part of my life.
He was the editor of the whole
the Superman line.
Superman,
yeah, he was
the Superman.
He was
line.
The head of that, I guess. But it was actually his idea to. Do the death of Superman. Pencils were Pablo Marcos. The inks were Carlos Garzon and Arnie Starr. Letters by Bob Paneja. Colors by Carl Gafford. And this comic was edited by Robert Greenberger. And adapted by a couple of jackasses down in Texas. with some lovely voice acting provided by a variety of people, including Trek on the Tube, MC Frodas from Strange New Pod, and she has her own YouTube channel. Brandy Jackala from several. She's been on Text Trek a few times recently. Dave and I were both in there. Clyde from Star Trek Discovery Pod. Mike Moody, the founder of Star Trek Discovery Pod. I don't think he's on there anymore, but used to be. And we also had Amy Nelson from the BQN Podcast Network. Thad from the BQN Podcast Network, both Captain Foley and Admiral Foley from Trek Yards, Jesse Gender, I mentioned, our friend Ruben from the Starfleet Boy After Dark Days, I have a friend named Trent, who I got to voice, it was like, I'm not going to say who he voiced, but I'll give you this one, like, it ain't Trent. I just thought that would like confuse people, but maybe that's too mean. So I'll a lot of the Text Trek regulars, yep. Starfleet, Sohel, Rachel, Aaron, and the Trek geeks, and of course our friend Dr. Trek himself, Larry Nemechek. And yeah, so if I don't know if Aaron meant this for real, he could probably like let us know in the comments if anyone's watching the chat on YouTube. But if anyone can correctly guess who all those people voiced, the first person to get that to my attention by whatever means necessary on Twitter and our Discord, our email, wherever, links to all of that in the description. But if Aaron has a extra copy of this comic, I will pay the shipping to someone in the United States if you can spot all of us, and we will reward you with this comic that I guess you already know the story of, but.
Right, but you will have a rare Christmas Trek artifact on your shelf.
It'll be a Christmas gift to you if you're in the United States.
You'll know that you're a little bit closer every night when you go to bed to Bronder, the Krieg in general, and the spirit.
Yeah, those are all characters that have been, like, living in my head for, like, the last month.
Yep, from Vasquez to Scooch. This was the Enterprise crew of the comics of 1987. Bring on the Bickleys.
But I think this is, you know, if there is a demand, if there is a demand for Star Trek Christmas stories, this is a bit of like an Admiral Kirk moment. You know, be careful what you wish for, Lieutenant. You might just get it.
We've unleashed it upon the galaxy.
Yeah.
God help them.
But we were going to have a lot more fun in 2024. So I think folks should come back. Oh, I just dated it, didn't I? I was like, we should make this kind of a timeless Christmas tradition. People can return to this story every year. But
you know, Father, if somebody's listened to this in 2027, say, and they hear that, I don't think they're going to suddenly shut it off. I think we're okay. I think we'll be all right.
I let us know. Leave a comment if wherever, however you're listening to this. If we, I don't know. Who knows if we're still alive in 2027? Someone's listening to this. They might be like the robots are the only things living, but.
Just whatever, chat GPTs.
Whatever form of intelligence is receiving this communication.
Father, if we need to go and fix things, if we need to change that, take out that one reference to date, we will, you know, slingshot effect around the sun. We'll travel back and we'll get it done. Yeah.
But, I guess otherwise we will return in the new year. But please let us know if you liked this, if you hated this. There's not like a ton of Star Trek Christmas comics, so I don't think this is likely to happen again.
We grabbed what we could.
But yeah, it's, if IDW ever does another one, maybe we'll get a sequel. But
yeah, and if anybody does know any others, you know, Marvel had the license for a while, Image or Top Cow.
Malibu had it.
Maybe it was Malibu, yeah. So if anybody happens to know of another, put it on our radar just, you know, in case. Just in case. Yeah.
Otherwise, though, everyone have a wonderful holiday season and a happy new year.
Absolutely.
Until next time, as always, live long and prosper, y'all.
Listen to the Text Trek podcast through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or at text-trek.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/text-trek and follow Fathery on Twitter at TXTrek. Please support us by liking our videos and subscribing to our channel on YouTube. Thank you and take care.